But when they got up, they didn't wisecrack. When they stood up and had the floor, they said something, and it was solid. And then there was that fellow in front of him. He was a lot bigger, had a light green shirt. His hair's all slicked back. And he was fiery. He'd get up, and he'd talk to him. And he just stated directly. And it's, and everybody's quiet when he said it.
You're not talking about George Wilson.
George had on the gray.
Jimmy wears gray.
He was here. This guy was over here. He was a big guy. Black glasses. And then the two sat behind him.
Yeah, I don't know that guy's name.
I don't know him either.
Yeah. That's, a lot of strange stuff. I expected George Wilson to be a little more rabble-rousing, but after he got his confrontation with Joe Thomas over with, see, that was his point of being there. He and Edie are there guarding their individual right, and they are not going to be run out of town, and they are not going to be told what to do, and they are going to use that piece of property, every bit of it, and nobody else is going to put foot on it.
Or anything else on it.
Or nothing on it, see.
Because she kept singing out all night long and never took the floor. She must have let George go talking officially. But she kept talking about the wash water that had been dumped out. Now, I believe it was after you'd left. And the guy was gone. And my foot had gone to sleep. So I got up and walked over there upstairs. And George finally got the floor. This was something because they...
George got the floor, huh?
Yes, but he was docile. They had gone into a big thing. This was after they chewed out Clara Cruz for paying the bills and not having them okayed.
She was strictly so proud illegal.
Because she read it all off. And she itemized every bill, and she had them there, and she said, they're all here, and she read off a few of the itemizations. And then...
And then found out she shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, I said, well, were these approved? I said, well, if you don't pay your lights, you don't have lights. And he was quiet for a minute. Everybody else was quiet. And he goes, well, that's not the point. The point is the council's not doing its job. And he wasn't really picking on her individual. He was trying to get to the council, but she was just good bait to use. And so he chewed her out. But anyway, after that, and they were trying to decide whether they had old business or new business. They couldn't decide. And they'd start for new business, somebody say, I got some old business. We gotta do the reports. And let's do the old business. Well, George, some lady there complained about she didn't have a street lamp. She requested one 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Or 4 months. And it hadn't been put in. And just,
who was that?
His name was Mary something. She said that was the first council meeting she'd ever been to. And
she's not too well known around town.
No.
Evidently from the talk trying to locate her house.
Yeah.
There's two or three people who sort of knew, well, she's over back at so-and-so's place. And, like, council really didn't know.
I don't think she did either.
She couldn't even say where her house was.
Said they'd had some trouble there last Thursday night. And she won that light in. You want to know why they didn't pave the road? Because it had more traffic than Oklahoma. And they were going to pave that street, and they weren't going to pave hers. And she said her bit, and she left. And that was about when George got up. Now, I was standing over there, and I couldn't hear him real well, but he didn't yell or anything. He asked about this wash water being dumped on the property. And I think Ward said, well, I didn't know if they had an ordinance on that or not.
I'm sorry I missed that. That's my wash water being dumped on the property.
Oh, well, he said you'd have to get a lawyer.
Oh, he said it was the mayor.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the mayor's wash water.
Yeah.
Well, mine's running on the other side because he stopped me from repairing my sewer.
Let me tell you, Rick, I don't know which one it was, but the way I caught that, he brought it up. It seemed like it was earlier. And the mayor quieted him. He says, that's a matter for the attorney.
Yeah.
And he sat down.
But that's what they told him again the second time. You'd have to bring suit.
Oh, I see.
He had to bring suit.
He did it again.
And he sat down again. And Edie didn't say a word. The only thing she said, when they told him couldn't do anything about that wash water, then they said, why that water shouldn't hurt your property, water your property. And Edie said, well, it smells. And so he got up and made his complaint. But he sat on down. I was waiting for him to really chew into somebody up there. But maybe he's waiting.
Now that's what Rick was conscious of. Well, you see, I'd been once before, and then I'd heard you talk a good bit, so I wasn't, as conscious of it as I was the first time. So that's the way it hits a newcomer.
Well, it's a funny thing because that was there's a lot of chewing expected that didn't come about anyhow.
Yeah.
And
that's why they
was expecting a lot more hell to be raised. And matter of fact, all the people like Thelma was she wanted up for blood, and you know we were supposed to really get this council put in order. But you saw who did it. You know, there's only two people that really kept pegging at him and trying to get him straightened out, and it was me and Eblen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't get a support from these people that mumble out on the street, yeah, we got to do this, you know, got to do it.
All that happened.
You couldn't even get them to say, yay, you know, or
anything like that. But I tell them, I said, yay, and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, a couple
of
times.
And those, Weaver, not Buffy,
Frank
Weaver.
Yeah.
I kept looking over and seeing it, punch himself, and giving a little applause, and like when they passed that fire commission, and you brought it up again and got them to nominate somebody.
No, Ebling did that.
Ebling,
yeah,
but they were over there kind of poking each other.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know?
Yeah.
What do you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a funny thing. It's hard to try to stay into the meeting, involved in it, and you miss a lot of the side action that goes on.
Yes, that's right.
And then I got really tired of paying attention. I had to leave. Because, you know, you really... It takes three or four people to watch them now.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sort of set up a time schedule so you can swap off and, you know, rest your head a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, just to really stay on it all the time, and there's too many things happening to guard dog it, you know.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep track of one thing and the other.
Yeah.
That council break is so long, that table up there. You can't watch them all at once. And there's like little meetings going on all down that table.
Yeah.
And Troy Blakely just all sat up by himself to get that briefcase.
Wasn't he funny? That Troy, something else.
I thought I'd die when he got onto that auditor.
Oh.
And he kept trying to say, diplomatically, I felt like he knew what an audit was. He kept trying to say, nobody here knows, and I want them to know. So he just took it all on himself, like he was ignorant of it.
Yeah. Well, what was the comment? I heard the comment from the audience. Did you catch it, Frank, or somebody said, don't try to excuse your background or something like that, you know, one of those cat calls.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, because he was saying, now, understand, he's a guy that lives by, he's got a handful of quotes.
Troy.
And man, when he gets to talking, he'll start, you got to fish or cut bait.
Yeah.
And, and all these cliches, he's got about five or six of them. And remember that you heard the talk he gave.
Yeah.
And good Lord, he'd come out with those things, and he, whenever he couldn't think of anything, he'd throw in one of these comments, one of his stock quotes. And he really, he ensconced himself up there, didn't he? Remember when he got up on the chair and he had his briefcase? He loves it. Oh, good Lord, he hasn't had so much out of life since he was born. He's just fine shape. And poor old Bill Proctor, he had a splitting headache from the work of the day to get this thing off.
He wasn't there.
He was sitting right next to me, Bill Proctor. He was the one who always had his head down the bench.
Oh, that
was
Bill Proctor? He had the gold rim glasses.
Yeah.
Towards me?
And
I didn't know that.
Right next to me.
Towards me?
Well, let's see. We swapped suits there
one
time.
Just one man.
Behind you.
Just one, yeah.
Was that who that was?
Yeah, I moved over so he could put his head down on the bench right next to you.
Oh, well,
because he'd worked so hard all day long, and this was like his moment of glory, you might say, and he couldn't participate because he'd done himself in.
He wore out.
Yes. Oh, he'd been trucking around and sweating and groaning. I mean, that's all he does.
There wasn't a single colored person there.
Oh, yeah, Willie Wade was there.
Well, that's all.
And
over in the corner.
And that guy that works, I don't know his name, but he cuts the lawn. He's got those dark glasses.
Yeah, and then there was one thin one in the back. I think you have a picture of him in a suit. He didn't have a suit on.
Oh, no, that was a long time ago, that picture. Yeah.
Well, there was another black man there, though. There were three of them.
Three?
I don't know.
I expected him to show up because of the fire. They said they were going to be there, the whole group of them.
Yes, I expected so, too.
Now, I've got to get on to Willie Wade about that and get him to get that dart gun for Eddie. Yes, sir. Eddie needs that. He told me, he said, I didn't talk to you. I spent about 30, 45 minutes talking to Willie Wade outside. That's one of the reasons I missed more stuff going on inside.
Oh, that's after I left.
Uh-huh. So I sort of ran into him right after you left, and he was coming out, so I just wandered down with him. And he says, I'm gonna get me a dart gun. And every now and then, just shoot a dart in old Eddie Glover up there. And he ain't saying nothing. And I told him, man, if he doesn't get on the ball, I'm going to run against him next time. So he better get to doing something. I'm going to run against him. He said, the council can't take another black man, so I'll have to wait. That's overloading the council with one more black man on it. They wouldn't handle that at all. And that's true. The way they just got to recognize that. I mean, you'd get in, they accept in the token black, as you might say. But you try to get two there, and you're going to get that town boiling. Just boiling.
Well, do what he said, have a revolution.
But that right in itself is a huge indication of change. That the black man got in there.
Yes, sir. Well, Rick had, when he came up here, first thing, he was looking at the Winn-Dixie people down there. And one of the things he wrote about was the garbage back of the house. And at the end of it was these scavengers, all sorts of people, some of them in big cars, came out to get it. And I read it, and it was nice and circumstantial, you see. He knew he was reporting. But I kept thinking, well, it's really not very interesting. You know, you got to cross swords with it. If I say it's nice and leave it that, your mind don't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, well, I just don't see the direction of it. These people, one fella stood off to the side and let, when anybody come, you see, and got out of the way, there wasn't any statement about them. Well, I got, that stuck in my mind, you see, and I thought, well, I'll go over this Emerson stuff. All of my directions are from Emerson or Whitman, or in that little nest there, you see. And I thought then, you see, and I'm just retracing my steps. I thought, well, but Emerson's dead. And they killed him up above. The students didn't do it. It's not that he's lost his appeal. But the scholars killed him. I've been working over some of the bibliography. That's one thing that's hurt me so. I've had several done my eyes. And what he does, he doesn't make anything at all over those fine first pieces, you see. He hits base towards the middle, around 1843 or 1845, in the thing called Experience and the Montaigne piece, and that's where he finds Emerson is hung up, that he repudiates what he had said, and the book is called Freedom and Fate.
He so said Emerson repudiated what he said.
Yes.
Well, hell, Emerson he said himself clear on that start with.
Yeah.
Well, consistency.
Well, it's, now what you get. What you get, that is the most popular book among the scholars, and they put it up for the students to read. Well, the students can't quite read it, the undergraduates can. But then they also prescribe his book of selections, and it's written into that where you can read it. And he gives you the steps, you see, by which Emerson was hung up. Now that's come down, and it's passed on until it's established, and so it's got to the point now, I can't get away with what I used to with Emerson. He's dead. They've killed him. Well, that's all right.
The kids come into you prepared like this?
Yes. That's right.
Well,
and
good Lord.
The word gets around. You see, the word gets around. They say, look at that old fossil over there. He don't know anything recent.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, me. I just...
When I had a guy, that was, what, 2 years ago, I had you in the summer.
Did you have that experience?
Faye kept class going.
No, I mean prior to coming into his class, did you have any familiarity with Emerson?
only thing I had familiar Emerson was through a little bit of Thoreau, and that was something you chuckled at. The damn fool went off in the woods. And, you see.
Yeah.
Now I'm just trying to get at what.
And the whole idea that it was just dry and nothing.
Are they doing? They're doing these in the lower what used to be C courses. I don't know what they call them now.
See, I didn't have the university college here.
No, that's not the university college. It's an English problem. But you can't get away with it. Well, now Bliss Perry has that marvelous article, part of his book, and he lines out the old Emerson. You see, you can see it. That's the one that I watch. Now, here's the thing: Bliss Perry was part of the culture still. He's a scholar. He's a professor at Harvard. But it came to him straight. And he could actually hear Emerson. He could hear him talk in those lectures. It wasn't just prose. He could hear it. That's part of the culture. All right. They don't hear anymore. They're cursed by Erasmus now. All they have is the printing press. Everything is printed matter. And the words that they speak is the written language.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even speak anything. They even speak the written language. So you see, the scholars, clear out of the. You see, the culture doesn't help them, and their scholarship throws them off. In my view, I think you see, he wasn't hung up for 100 years. So, 100 years or so now that's you see how it goes. And I thought I took Faye up to the bus station. And I fought it. I'm not out much, you see, with those fellas. And you see, she got it the wrong line. She got it the wicket where you put your bag to be weighed.
Oh, yeah.
And the wicket that was moving was the next one over there, you see. Well, that's the way I get hung up, you see, in the bus world. Well, it was the next day before I could check myself, you see. I belong to the buses. I can ride them. I can talk to the people. And then I could see, here's this strapping, spindling fella, you see, with the tight jeans and time on his hands, and he goes over to the pinball machine and, you know, he pulls it out with a little French or English or Spanish on it, you see, and then he vibrates it just a little bit, you see, all in the most condescending manner. And you see, I was making contact, but it took me some little time. I'm slow. And I saw this woman, fairly young woman, in tights. That made her rump look as big as a wash tub or a foot tub or something. Over there was that little wheelbarrow, what do you call the go-karts? So they put the stuff on.
Yeah, shopping cart or something?
Stock cart.
Stock cart, and she pushed it up to hold the door open while she changed, you know, filled up the chocolate bin. And the last I saw of her, we didn't stay long. She was going over with that thing, was a whole loaded down with fresh sandwiches, and I thought to myself, maybe she made them. And then I thought, she educates, she raises a family on that little stock card. And I kept thinking, there they were, sitting back to back, just a double line of chairs, right in the middle. Nobody to tell anybody anything. If anybody, one or two went over and asked the lady, with his stock car. And she would look serious and I think tell him she didn't know. And the place ran itself. No one to tell him when the bus came or where it was going or where it was going to stop.
Yeah, none of that old announcement. Didn't have it.
I went out with Faye in the line. And it didn't take long to get on the bus, you know. Lines don't take long, really, if you don't fight them. And she went on in. I had her bag, and I said to the driver, If it's all right, I'll put the lady's bag up for her. And he took his time and looked up at me. He's short and I tall. He said, right deliberately, fairly good humor, as if he'd had a night's sleep, "It'll be all right." And that's what I saw, the culture, you see. And whether the bus company realized that or whether it was just by negligence, the thing ran itself. Well, you see, I couldn't see a thing over at the meeting, you see. There's so much going on. It's raw experience, and I'm flooded. I can't see it. But I know, just before I left, I leaned over and said to Selma, "You see, I don't have friends in Meganope.
Mm-hmm.
I just hardly have speaking acquaintances."
Mm-hmm.
I says, "You know, you got some right nice young fellas here. I believe they're more active than the older ones." She says, "The old ones wore out trying to get something done." Well, anyhow, it stuck with me. And when I got home, I remembered the fellow who wanted the beer referendum.
Mitchell.
Yeah. I called him Harris. Mitchell.
Mitchell Harold.
Harold.
Harold's his last name.
Mitchell Harold. Well, he got up in a very calm voice, you know, said to Mr. Morganson, and Mr. Morganson said to him, he said he didn't say exactly that, he said he'd entertain a motion. And so he pointed that finger at him, and he had pretty good muscles, you see.
Oh, yeah.
Lined it out to him, you see. And Morganson said again, you know, that he said that nobody made a motion. And he said he'd entertain the motion. And he still didn't catch on. If sometime later that he caught on, that Morganson had told him that he would entertain a motion and that nobody had made the motion, and he sat down. Now, I may get it wrong, but that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Mitchell's hot-tempered.
Yeah.
Did you see him walk out several times?
Yes.
He said he walked out because if he'd stayed in there, he'd have blown up. Yeah, I knew what he was doing. He'd get up and sort of go out like this, you know.
Yes.
You know, he's got his head down. I've seen him do that a lot of times. When he gets his head down like this, you know something's stupid.
Every time we sit down and say, "That's all right. That's all right."
Like, well, all right. You know, there at one time, everybody told me once. That was while the fire chief was looking through his notes, and he had to read them. And that was the only time the deputy took a part. And I remember that very well. He had on, I don't know why the law officers have to dress up like peacocks. With all that hot stuff, and he had his glasses around his neck. And
that whistle?
Huh?
That whistle?
Yeah. And he'd stand back there, inconspicuous. He's a young fella, sort of blonde, innocent looking, sort of. And he took some steps in there, just like a fella does when he's going out on the platform to make a speech, and he can't quite stop and overbalance. Do you ever do that yourself? That's the way he did. And he says, "All of you are out of order."
The whole bloody works.
He says, if you want to go with the Robert's Rules of Order, he says, all of you better read it. He says, the man up there reporting has got the floor. Well, sir, you know, I watched him. I didn't really watch him, but I saw him the next day at least. All looked at him, and even Edie looked over there, and her face was perfectly reconciled to it. And I thought, you see, that's in their culture. They are willing for the deputy to speak for them. And that's the way I saw it. And then I saw the fellow sitting on the right who was so impressive with a cigar, and he had such healthy skin.
Mm.
He's the one who spoke now and then, had been on council.
Yeah, we can't catch his name, right?
Yeah.
I'll have to find that.
I got to feel quite cheerful about the whole thing. There was all them fellas, and there was Ward, you see. Like you had said to me that. He was the only one who was illiterate, and he was the only one who seemed to be able to transact the business.
First time he's spoken.
Yeah.
He's never spoken on the council before.
Yeah.
He'll do it.
There you got the culture working out. But, of course, they can't spark it. It takes a little behind the scenes. Now, that's what I have seen and felt since I have been working in the countryside out here. And I see them out here at the little churches and all like that. The way I put it is, they have to have their scholar. Now, I don't mean the MLA scholar, but they've got to have the scholar who can handle the subject somewhere along the line. Now, you see, in the quarterlies in the Sunday school, they don't get it. It's institutionalized to the point where it's not really fair. Then the town council. I don't know. I wouldn't want to ride the point, but that's the direction it all took with me. And I was right. And you see, they listened to you. I felt when you stood up back there several times, and you didn't. You were a little bit head up yourself. You see.
Oh yes. I was.
Yeah. Just chewing on them, the councilman up there.
Oh, I was into it, guy. I wouldn't deny that at all. I got nervous the first time.
Yeah.
Because I sort of backed off there at the last.
But I think, and Selma, I mean the cleric, you know, Mrs.
Cruz.
You see, I used to talk with her, great lengths when she was helping out over there at the candy store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she with her, she is good talk. It's mostly moral, but it's a nice.
A lot of information. Oh yeah.
Yes.
You gotta have it to know what's going on so she can keep check on the morals.
Yeah.
You got a good spin off there.
So it's right along the little business going on over there. I'm glad I got into it.
You're right about that subject. Like those other meetings, back in the old meetings, in the town itself was more or less flat until you get a little something punched into it. Now, it's got the ability to be alive.
Yeah.
Elmer's alive. Frank's alive. These guys are, they're live people. They got humor about them.
Yeah.
No, but man, they were dead. You know, they just let everything sort of slide and sit at home and grumble.
Well, you see, it's a company town.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think of Micanopy as a company town. But see, Mr. Barr is the connection, and then all they wanted to do was to, the mill didn't want to do anything for Micanopy, it just wanted to protect itself. As I gathered, I don't know whether that's true.
That's absolutely true.
And that personality of Mr. Barr that you have sort of lined out is I just can kick myself for not going and seeing that personality. I just feel so crummy. And here I'm out here looking around, I can't see.
It's not a street personality. Even when he was in there running it, his street personality was totally different.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
You meet him on the street, and he was just as everyday as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Quiet, nice voice.
Right behind
very
the
pleasant.
Desk.
You put him back there, and he growls.
Yeah.
He's cantankerous. Everything you can imagine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you've gotten interested in that, because it's hard for me to keep thinking about it and being involved in it.
Yeah.
You make as much of it.
Did you heat up?
See, I've got my head lined out too hard on certain things.
I'll tell you, Wade, if nothing else comes of it, it's worth all your trouble. That sketch you gave us last time on old George Waters, that was a masterpiece. That is just rich.
On who?
Wilson.
Wilson?
George Wilson. That's esteemed. You did it yourself. It's fresh. And God Almighty. With one case after another, you didn't keep making statements about it. That is just, that's perfect rich. Now, I'm never satisfied. You got to have Mr. and Ms. McQuinney now.
Yeah.
Before you stop.
I was going over to see them. I'll try to work that in tomorrow. I've got an excuse to see them. Two or three excuses. Find them out.
Yeah.
Need to get some help from my sewer.
Yeah.
See if they can help me a little bit.
Yeah. And you can expect a willing ear from them? They listen?
Oh, I think so. They love to negotiate about anything. You know, talk about it.
Or do they?
Yeah. Any proposition you want to make, they'll entertain it.
In the kitchen?
The only time I was over there, any long period of time, I did wind up in the kitchen. Most of them were out wandering around the shed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is not, I'm not to say that he'll do it, but he'll certainly talk to you about it. That's nice.
Yeah.
He won't shut you down. He'll talk.
But you go through him, not through her.
She doesn't have a whole deal, great deal to say, yeah, that I know of.
Yeah.
See, he's a good bit older than she is.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, 25 years at least, I'd say.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
She's hardly much older than the daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, that much different.
Yeah, I don't think. She's probably around 30-ish, something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's bumping up around and getting closer to retirement age.
Oh, that much?
Yeah.
And he works steady at the mill.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them.
They gave up the garbage, gave it over to Alfie.
Yeah. Well, what do you know? Well, that's
and
really
it had been collected
on
in 3 weeks. Until not, he got it 2 days ago. That's right. Sunday or Monday, he came by and collected it finally.
Yeah, but you can't know exactly when they're coming.
Very unpredictable. I'm sure they don't know. Possibly that.
Now, you see, you've never run into old Jim Means.
No, I haven't. Not
well, you see, he left when they turned it over. You see, he thought that was behind the back. He turned it. He had the contract and had it for a year or less. And these other people underbid him, and they just gave it to him, them. And he never darkened the doors of making over after that.
I hear his name a lot, you know, off and on,
oh,
mentioned
you?
Around, but not a great deal. I shouldn't say a lot, but I do hear off and on. Yeah, that stands to reason to me. I'm sure that's the way it would act.
Yeah.
That's not a friendly way to do to go underbid somebody.
No. And he didn't know McClendon for it, responsible for it. It was the council.
Mm-hmm.
They just scoundrels.
You can level that they did it in a secret manner.
Yeah.
That's the way they've always done that
That's
kind
right.
of stuff.
That's right.
And it, like I say, that everything they do has a vendetta involved in it, primarily. And more than likely, they were mad at him for something. Probably not doing his, probably wasn't anything doing his job.
Well, as far as I understood it from him, Jim, and Jim Means, and from Buster, it was just a matter of saving $10 a month. Or $5.
They're so funny about things like that, about the money in the town. Like the who was it? One person was upset about them firing Clara Cruz. Got word of that. And why were they upset? Said, "Why? There's no way you're going to be able to hire anybody to take care of the books for $85 a month."
There sure isn't.
I almost fell out. The books. Oh, well, we won't worry with that. They're just too complicated. That's the mentality.
Well, that's the same one that got rid of Jim. And he never even drives through there. He don't even drive through there. He doesn't drive through there. He goes around. He doesn't buy anything there. once or twice he's condescended to let Buster do something to that old truck. You know, it's a 1940 model.
Yeah.
He runs along around 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's something.
You know, my first encounter with Jim Means and that truck was, I was down here at Coleman County seat for real estate. And I got off up there, I think Fee was with me, I'm not sure. Or somebody. Anyhow, we were sitting up on the right there, up in one of those groves. Not in the grove, but just on the edge of the grove. And eating cold cuts. And here come this truck, you see, and turned in. I told you about this.
I don't think so.
And I walked on out there, and I didn't want to take his time, you see, and he had a few boxes of oranges, you see. He's loading. I thought, well, I'll just talk with him a little bit and have him load. And I picked up one of those boxes and I go and saw it up there. Why, I couldn't, it stuck to the ground. That's the heaviest thing I ever. I couldn't get it up there with both hands, much less. So I just had to lean against the truck and picked it up and sewed it up for that greatest ease and kept on talking to me. And you know, he never did tell me how to pick it up. And it's funny how these things last and last and last. I was down here at Red Oaks. That's where Martin used to be before they took the post office out on Pat Reddick. And I lost my thread.
Those oranges.
Yes. And they were, I was coming back from Ocala, and I was just had a little time, and I was thought I'd look around. I'd been there a time or two, and I'd see if any of their landmarks, and there were landmarks there. I'd go up and honk my horn and go in, and nobody would speak to me. They were all at home, but they wouldn't come out and speak to me. So it was right in the middle of the day. The men weren't there. I guess that was the trouble, you see. So I came on back down there at a little restaurant, and they had a packing house. And the man, you see, I'm not very good with strangers. So I just sat in the car there a minute, and I saw several people march in there. They looked officious and everything. One of them got out of a trailer where he must have been eating, so he'd come out sucking his teeth and picking his teeth, you know, and doing his best to get his buttocks straightened. You know how people do that when they're
coming out to eat, yeah.
And he stood over there, so I figured he was one of the proprietors, but I was afraid to speak to him. When I got out, I thought maybe he'd speak to me. And there was a cripple, a fellow there on a peg leg, at least a crutch. And I just walked up there and I said, these squashes look pretty fresh. Oh, he says, it's just a, he says it ain't anything to speak of. And I hit the right man. He talked for half an hour. Without taking his head off. And he's right out of Faulkner. His migrations. And he hit Florida and he hit the groves. And he said this nigger man was the one that helped him. He said he'd come over to him and put his hat under his arm. And said to him, there's a way to pick them up. He says, all you got to do is lift up one end first. And that has the weight. Now, I'd been trying to pick them both up, you see, at once. Now, I haven't tried it out, but that's what he told me. That's what he told me. I'm confident. And, you know, I never think of things for the next day. And I thought to myself, if I could just talk to that fella, it's just like Faulkner. So is migration. And I tried my damnedest to get in touch with him. I called down there and got to the restaurant. I didn't go. I called several people. And they all knew him, but they didn't know his name. They said he thought he lived in Citra. And what he was over there for, he had a spastic boy who was muscular, and he tacked the crates together and put them up.
Mm-hmm.
And he had come over there, you see, to pick up that boy. And he said to me once, he says, "You can't understand me, but," he says, "these other people know everything he says." And he just walked around there sputtering as far as I could hear, you see.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get back there. I can't go to those kids too much. So we'll get this babysitting thing straightened out.
Who's your babysitter?
Oh, it's this young girl that she does all right once in a while, but I sort of need to be there as much as I can about this time of night.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of make them feel not too alone.
Yeah.
Now, this being a mother is not the best thing in the world. I'm sure against this woman's lib movement. I don't care what they say. I'm against it. Now, you talking about you couldn't handle communism, I'm going to start thinking that way about woman's lib. No, sir. No, sir. That place is right there with the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's debatable from several ways. I know Mrs. Gusser didn't like it because she said she wouldn't have any privileges at all after that.
That's true. That's right. Who said that?
Mrs. Gusser. She's my old friend out here halfway between and Coast Creek.
I tell you that there's so many people I'm running into that's got that kind of insight into things. To make a statement like that, it's so nice.
Yeah.
You don't find this educated person able to make a statement like that. They got to argue about it.
No. That's right.
They got to be factual.
They got to discuss it. That's right.
Now, see, that's part of the truth of the matter, what she said.
Well, you know that's the truth, the world he's living in, you see. And it's worth living in, isn't it?
I wouldn't trade it for anything right now. I had heart failure one day thinking about some catastrophe happened over there in Nicanopa. It was soluble. I mean, it worked out.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, good Lord, man, if I have to leave this place.
Yeah.
Oh, all kinds of hell was going on, and I was, you know, thinking, well, the best thing to do is just sell this damn building and leave. You know, no. Where in the world could I go to?
Well, you know,
I'd be done in.
Did you hear from Emerson?
No.
He didn't call you? Well, the bastard, I called him and talked to him. I said, call him, he's out there waiting for you to call him. Well?
There's something strange went on in that household. I don't know what.
Well, he said he didn't know a thing, and he wasn't connected with the education people. And I thought, well, I won't go into it with him. You all can talk about it. So, there you are. Oh, I don't think anything strange would happen to him. He belongs to the countryside. It's curious, isn't it? He's a very young fella, but he still belongs to the countryside. And he just took in that Emerson and Whitman stuff, you see. He could see it all. It was perfect clear. And, you know, it fit into it. Well, I talked it over with Philip. You see, the English department is going into this MLA scholar business, you know. they are tightening their lines. Something fierce. And so there's no place up there that is a toehold for a man, you see, who don't want to compete. No place to hide out. Well, under the old University College, you see, there was a lot of places to hide out, you see. I remember one fella, C5 principally, he raised chickens there for several years out there towards not also on the other place up there. He let it go, but he had his fling at it. And, you know, they got into everything. There's all sorts of people. That was the idea. And they didn't care whether they published or not, just so they kept alive. That was chiefly what they were interested in. And now they're doing away with it, the University College, by and large, piece by piece, turning C3 over to English, and that's the worst thing that could happen to it. And I talked to Philip Bradshaw. You see, he was the right-hand man of Wise for a number of years, ever since I've been here. And he's a gay sort of fella. I never could get quite close to him because he had that education attitude at heart. He could, you know, we could talk a little bit, and I could follow him, but he refused to follow me. Well, and so I did all the giving. Well, anyhow, you get information from him, and he's an open fellow, and I talked to him about it, and he said he didn't know. And I said, maybe some of the community colleges. And let me see now, what did he say? He said that they differed. He said in some of them, the pressure was very strong for college preparation. And then others would go towards the technical, what do you call it, shop work.
Vocational.
Vocational and terminal studies.
Terminal. Strong statement.
And, but you'd have to, and that's the kind you'd want. And there, it'd be a little looser.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have a little better chance, you see, of not having somebody overlook you too closely.
What I'm finding is happening more and more is the degree people are getting wind of the fact that their degrees aren't quite as good as they should be, and they're scrabbling hard to keep them, and they're clamping down on anybody that doesn't have a degree. Like this happened at FTU, it's happening in Santa Fe. They're getting, you know, they're trying to get their union tightened up. Because, hell, next thing you know, they'll be devalued, like the dollar.
Right.
So they've got to work.
Yeah.
And so instead of going opening up, as it should be, to an intelligent being able to come in there and contribute, they're tightening up till they're going to be kicked open. By
that's right.
They just sort of slip along the other way.
Well, you have to get a degree. But you see, with a community college, they don't care what degree, just so you got one.
No. Old Norman has an MFA in... He's teaching what's called humanities and mostly just reading books.
Yeah.
You know, and then he got his degree in painting.
Yeah.
And he teaches music. He got his music education from the record jacket. We joke about that so much. Because he does. You know, he teaches humanities music classes.
Now, you see, I don't know, Wade, but the way I'd go about it, I'd go about it in a circuitous way, you see. I'd be underhand about it. I'd go around to my friends and say, who can I work through over in college education? I wouldn't trust myself, you see, because I'd go over there, I'd hit the wrong man, and it would kill me for the rest of the time. So I'd do a little research on it.
The only one I sort of know that might know something is old John Penrod. I've never maintained as close contact with him, but we've always been a direct friend when we meet.
Well, my view of Jack Penrod is he don't know anything about except about novels. But now he might do that. He might know the right fellow over there. He's not in college.
I know he's not.
Him.
But I just thought maybe ask it for direction.
No, Evelyn would tell you.
Walt?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good Lord. He was no guy. Ooh, that's one of...
Walt? The one at the meeting?
Yeah, well, he was a school board member.
Oh.
But,
I thought he'd been into the college education.
No, he's a school board member.
Oh, is that all?
No, he hadn't even been to college.
Oh, is that it? Is that it?
Yes.
Well, I missed it.
The quality of our school board, I don't know.
Well, that would be my approach. Mm-hmm. And any of the school teachers can tell you. They've all gone through the thing up there.
Yeah, I just have to get really busy on it.
You know how to get busy on that.
Do a ferreting job.
No, you can do it by telephone. Some school teacher can tell you where to go, and then you can go from there to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't just go up there and ask them what the requirements are. I'd find out somebody, you know, get a little toehold up there.
And where's that Coombs character still up there in education?
Who?
COOMBS.
Well, he's too high up. You'd have to get to him, you see.
Yeah, and I need to find somebody you can converse with.
He's theoretical.
Uh-oh.
if it's the one I was thinking of, he's abstract. And what you need to get somebody is somebody with toe. You know, like old, who used to be the principal of Lackey County? The Tiny.
Oh, Tiny Talbot.
Yeah, somebody like that. Yeah. He can tell you where to go. Tiny Talbot. He can still tell you.
More than likely.
Yeah. Is he retired? Or just teaching now?
I imagine he retired.
He's a principal of something.
Oh, he is.
I don't know. He retired at least as a superintendent, county commissioner. That'd be my... So you know so many more people than I do.
Yeah. Well, I don't...
I wouldn't put it off. I'd go ahead and do that. You can do that by telephone.
Mm-hmm.
You're over there on the Bell system. I'm over here on the North Florida.
I don't think I can make it by September. There's no need for me not to get it organized, though. But I need to reduce a few more debts before I get into there. This thing's moving along pretty well. Especially with Beverly working and holding down the stables.
The grits.
And so all I can do with my money is pay the debt.
Yeah.
And it's just getting, I'm chopping away at it. About $1,000 a month.
Experience.
Oh, well, I'm resigned. They'll do every deal backwards.
You know, I
do it.
I'll tell you, you're a slow learner. Some things. I learned my lesson on the silage. That's been a long time. I had 20 acres of corn, beautiful corn for silage. And that was a total, that was a fiasco.
That hole.
And I haven't even attempted to practice in enterprise. Enterprise, is that right? To be enterprising citizen since then. I went down solid. I hit right square.
It's still biting me a little bit, guy, but I'm learning. I see those things blossom up there. That carrot.
Yeah.
That damn carrot keeps coming out and I go after it. And I know that's no way for me to be.
Yeah.
I just need to forget it, totally forget it. And if I can get my $30 a week pension, learn to be satisfied with it. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, that carrot. Oh, that's so terrible. I don't know where it keeps coming from. See you later.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Say those documents now.
Okay, I'll remember them next.
Yeah.
And can you get Xeroxing free?
Oh yes.
Well, hell, I'll bring you the whole pile over and you can Xerox.
Bring the whole pile.
Oh, a lot of them are handwritten.
Yes, I'll be over there.
Okay.
Good.
Nothing like that.
Oh.
Well, thought I'd watch the news.
You might get about 15 minutes of the national news. That's about it.
15 minutes? It's been over 15 minutes.
No, it's one that comes on at 7.
I can't get that one.
Well, that's what I like the most.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
My ABC thing went out.
Well, I'm pretty full up, so I'm probably going to go to town.
Hey.
Burnett's plowing tomorrow.